pretending to be falling down. Once we got another, my thoughts keep me spinning around. I'll look funny answers, but solution just can't be.
And as the music fades, it's time for episode number 66 of the Promoter Mouse podcast.
Happy Now Lose, Kai and listeners.
Well, yeah, happy Nowruz to you too, mate.
Yeah. Do you know what it is?
No, because I read that as Now or Us, like no, the toy shop.
No, it's Nowruz.
Nowruz.
You've got to jump over fires and wish each other happy Nowruz in Persian.
Jump over fires? That sounds a bit dangerous.
It's like Hogmanay, but for Persian people.
Sounds a bit more like the sort of thing that goes on in Bungie, where they worship Satan.
No. That's racist towards our Persian listeners, and there might be some.
That's not racism.
Yeah.
Suggesting that jumping over fire is a devil worshippers thing.
Oh.
We're 12 seconds in, and I've been accused of racism. Well, give me time to warm up, at least.
All right, well, you know. Happy Nowruz.
Yeah, happy Nowruz to you too, mate.
Yeah, and for clarity, Persian listeners, Kai wasn't maligning.
No, I wasn't.
The Persian culture.
I wasn't. Persian people, I love your rugs and your cats.
Yeah, I like them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got good comics.
Yeah.
The Iranians have some good comics over here. There's Pat Monahan.
Pat Monahan.
Darius Davis. And the lady.
Shapikosandi.
Yeah, Shapikra. I think I've got that right. Happy Nowruz to all our Iranian / Persian
yes,
listeners.
And
comics.
To all the Persian cats.
And rugs.
And the rugs out there.
Yeah.
<It's a> bit.
That's the extent of your knowledge of Persian culture, right?
No, I'm sure there's some good food they do too.
They do have some sort of wacky.
Probably kebab-like, isn't it? I mean, I don't want to generalise, but I bet they stick some meat in a pita.
Very big on their confectionery.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Like, you know, the Turkish confectionery that you get with all the sort of little cubes of sort of sugary chocolate things.
Oh, I was going to say, what are those little pastry things you get?
Oh, yeah, some of them as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Balaclavas.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like all of them.
Yeah. I once... No, I'm not even going to go there.
You're going to be racist,
wasn't
you?
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
In my mind, I was robbing a bank with baklavas on, and it was just two pastries over my eyes. It didn't go well.
No.
Hey, we've had quite a busy week.
Busy couple of weeks since we last did a straightforward pod.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because we had a little sort of week, not a week off, we were both here, but the Tanya Lee Davis...
Yeah, we had the guest, Tanya Lee Davis, here.
What a wonderful guest.
What an amazing person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a few people message us saying, oh, I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I've seen that.
We've both had them, haven't we? So, yeah, very, very pleased. And we went to see her, was it last night?
I'm really pleased I did. But it was a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which is an odd time to be skirting out to watch some comedy for me.
Yeah.
But I'm so pleased I did, because I haven't seen her for years. And she did an extended set for Martin Westgate at Hoomer.
Yeah.
Lovely. Love what she's doing.
Yeah, likewise, yeah. He had a bit of a day for socialising with the glitterati of Norfolk.
We were. There were all the runners and strikers. No, what's the term? All the movers and shakers.
Movers and shakers.
Yeah.
Are you a mover and shaker guy?
Yeah, I move and I shake. I think we both are.
I'm a mover and shaker.
Yeah.
Not in a Michael J. Fox way.
No. I like to think I'm moving and shaking. Well, I'm a wobbler. That's what I am.
You moobs.
Yeah. I'm a wobbler and a jiggler.
Yeah, we're wobbler and jiggler. Yeah, a dynamic wobbler and jiggler. Yeah, so am I. I would say, Tanya Lee Davis, she's got a good book in her, I would say.
Yeah.
Definitely, she should. She's telling it all in an hour-long show. Not quite all of it, but there's a lot to be said. And she probably doesn't realise what gold that she's got, because we were talking to her, and because I happened to hear her being name-checked in Doug Stanhope's book, the one about his mother, I asked her about it, and like... an amazing anecdote just fell out, which you would have been keeping. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays, the money's got to be in audiobooks, right? What else have you been up to, Kai?
Well, mate, on Friday,
yeah.
I went to Iceland.
I see how old it is. I'm asking you for the listeners' benefit.
But I haven't been one of those people that's been thrown out there. I've not put any photos up or
anything. No. And you've got some frozen pizzas, some Greg's sausage rolls.
Yep. And
yeah, you got some Weight Watchers stuff, didn't you?
A Lewis Capaldi pizza.
Yeah. No, you was out there in Reykjavik. How much was a pint in Reykjavik? That's what everyone wants to know.
They do. It was about £9.
See, that's not even that much now compared to a...
£9, but we did have on the Sunday, we went to some spa day, and it was about, it must have been getting on for like £12-13 in a warm pool of water.
Mm.
But it was the setting. You'd have paid £20 to have a pint in there.
I tell you what, there's plenty of tramp round here drinking special brew in a warm pool of water.
There are. Yeah, the experience is slightly different.
Yeah. Mind you, I paid £7.50 last week in Tunbridge Wells for an Italian lager.
Why do you call it an Italian lager?
I can't remember the name. Is it Birretti?
Yeah, or Moretti?
Moretti,
yeah, Birretti.
Did I get it wrong?
Yeah, I think it's Moretti.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Birre Moretti or something, isn't it?
I don't know. Birretti.
Well, I'm telling you, it is.
I half expected to get it wrong. That's why I said Italian lager. I've got to remember the name of it.
But Iceland, what a place, mate.
Yeah.
I
haven't seen the amazing pictures, but whilst you were out there, it came alive, didn't it? The earth came alive.
It did. It's a place to go where you do feel the power of nature all around you. It's amazing. It's not a place I'm going to go back to. It's one of those you go to and you say, yeah, I've done that. And it is. It's lovely.
Yeah.
The people, never met friendlier people.
Vikings, mate.
Yeah, exactly. And saw a lot of Vikings.
Yeah.
You could see the beard, the hair, the muscles.
They always win World's Strongest Man, don't they? It's a tiny nation. There's always an Icelandic guy up there.
That's because they're all shifting snow and stuff and volcanic rocks.
They're raping and pillaging from years ago.
Well, I don't know about the raping. I didn't notice any. We hired a car, we drove around, we did quite a few miles going out around the sort of mountains and the snow and everything.
Left hand or right hand?
Left.
Makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Well, it does.
Especially when you're knackered.
Yeah, but I was mostly all over the place because it was kind of like, you notice, oh, I'm all drifting over towards the curb. Yeah. I hit a couple of curbs.
Did you see any volcano smoke?
Yes.
Yeah.
On the way back, because while we were there, looked at the news and it was big news.
Yeah, well, it was on the news at 10, eh?
Right, yeah. A massive gash had opened up in the land, and it was...
I'm resisting everything. I'm not saying a word.
It was a huge gushing gash, mate.
Yeah.
Yep, spewing.
Did he get in there?
It was amazing, but the lava flow was going sort of towards the sea, and they evacuated a town, and it was on the way to the airport. Had it gone the other way, the airport would have been shut. Because
a few years ago, famously, all airports were shut because of a volcano in Iceland.
True. This one wasn't a smoky.
You could have been... Would your insurance cover you if you were staying there and a one like that erupted?
Well, act of God, I suppose they call it. I don't know if it is.
You'd be well knackered, won't you, at £9 a pint?
I don't know if an act of God is cancelling your flight. That's not an act of God, is it?
Oh, I don't know.
God didn't cancel it.
God caused a volcano.
But if the volcanic rock landed on my luggage, that might be different. Hmm. I don't know. We went and saw some geezers.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of blokes from East London. No, we saw some geezers gushing steam and hot water up in the air.
Yeah.
It is alive, that place, and you realise you stood on top of it. It's amazing.
What was the highlight?
Probably going to the hot spring. We drove miles out into the sort of middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And there was a little place there where a natural hot spring, and you could just get your kecks off and go in it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
And we looked at the history of it, and apparently it was a farmer's land, and there was a little shack there, and he used it to clean his sheep. So we went in his sheep dip, basically. that was it. But it was a natural thing, and the mountains all around. I'll show you some pictures there. It's lovely.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Can I just ask?
Yeah.
I'm curious why there were no pictures forthcoming on socials.
Why were there no pictures?
I genuinely wanted to see.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But I enjoyed it more. It was a very nice time away with me and the missus, and for a change, I just didn't do all that sharing. It was interesting. I didn't even mention it, did I?
Not at all.
Yeah.
But why? Was it a conscious thing?
Not necessarily. I was just enjoying the time there rather than being online posting stuff.
I would post it. I mean, I know people.
It was unusual. I did think that after. I thought, I didn't put anything up.
I know you get fed up with seeing people's sort of pictures at airports and, you know, toes on the sunbed and all of that. And I know people get fed up with it, but genuinely, I like to see them.
Yeah, there was a bit of me also thought, well, people aren't maybe that interested. But I wasn't doing it for, you know, sometimes they do it for the likes and things, but,
I was.
Oh, look at me, I'm off in Iceland.
Also, your audience isn't just other people that you know, and you're not sort of, you know, you don't want to be saying, look at me, I'm in Iceland, aren't I great? But also, your future self in years to come. It comes back, you know. I love it when I've been away.
Do you know what I'm going to do?
I'm going to afterwards.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pretend I went this weekend.
Yeah, do it.
And chuck a few up. Ooh, look at me.
You should do one, and then we can all see it.
But what I did do before I went is I did a load of scheduled posts for the comedy. So while I was away, there was stuff going up every day.
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
Yeah. No, I wasn't posting that. I did it on the Friday, on the Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to be careful with that. If somebody carks it whilst you're away.
What?
When you do schedule posts for comedy, like one of your acts die or something.
Oh, fucking hell.
I would stop that, yeah.
No, I didn't go that deep.
You come back from holiday, you're not checking your socials and you're completely fucking cancelled.
Yeah.
Look at this mercenary twat.
Yeah, it's true. Shit. But the final thing on Iceland, mate, the food, you go into any place and the food is fantastic.
Yeah. What's the food like? Polar bear burgers and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whale soup.
Because I ate some unimaginable things that I would never eat here.
Yeah, save it to the end. I'm sure the listener
I'm glad wait. I didn't post, because I would have posted a picture of my supper on the first night, and I might have lost a few friends.
Well, I've got a contrition later as well.
Okay.
Right. Since we last podded, like, without Tanny Lee, I did a double up with Gary Delaney, and I've got a contrition to one of the acts, which you'll stay tuned for later on.
Well, let's lead into that with, you've put Gary Delaney.
Yeah, and also, I wanted to tell you, Gary Delaney was, you've worked with him before, and he's excellent, obviously, people know who he is. But he had a bit of a drama. El Baldino, Jason from Lancashire somewhere, who you've worked with. He's
bonkers.
Yeah, lovely fella. Daft as a brush. His act is daft as a brush. And he just gets everyone giggling. But he turned up, like, because he was doubling up and this was the second bit, he turned up, like, really, really sweaty and a bit sort of stressed. And he said, "Oh, right, I'm ready to go on. I just need to sort me props out. I'm just going to sort me props out." And he was at the side of the stage. He had a suitcase and he was putting all his props on the middle of the stage, and he says to me, "Oh, I parked somewhere really stupid. I just got out of the car and left it there." I said, "Oh, all right." So I'll just go out and sort it. Like, okay. And he went out, and I thought, I should have gone with him. I don't know what he's about to go on in literally 5 minutes less than that. I should have gone with him. So I went white with panic after a couple of minutes. I went, "Shit, where's he gone? Where's he gone?" So as I went out, right, he's like, I can't see him, right? I went out and I'm thinking, where the fuck is his car? Like, it's not in the car park. I know whose everyone's car is, right? So where is it? So I phone him, right? I phone him. He's left his phone with the props. Darius Davies is emceeing and the phone goes off on stage.
No.
And he picks up El Baldino's phone, makes a big old thing of it. El Baldino's phone's here. It's going off. So he's got it up to the microphone. "Who is that, right? Who is that?" You know, it's my best Darius impression. And I'm going, is Jason there? Hello, it's Jason. It's asking if it's Jason there, isn't it? And I'm going, hello? And I thought, that's Darius. He must be in there. Because I can hear Darius. And I didn't realise. And I got back in. And Al Baldino's ashen face at the side of the stage. I said, "Oh, are you here?" He said, "Mate, you were just broadcasting that to like 300 people." Oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah. But they didn't know it was me either. They just thought it was some random ringing.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So that was good fun.
Oh, and you had a solo curry.
Have you ever done this?
I have. I did it in Dublin.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Well, yeah, because I've been working in Tunbridge Wells, I had one up there.
What did you have?
I had a chicken tikka starter and a organ josh and just a plain rice and a cobra.
Push the boat out. How many cobras?
One.
Yeah, three cobras. Brilliant.
Just one.
Yeah. Mrs. Pablo knows you had three.
I didn't have three cobras. I had one. I was driving.
But I used to work in restaurants, didn't I? And there is something also a little bit sad about a man sitting alone eating a proper meal.
I don't think there is.
Yeah, there is. Trust me, everyone thinks you're a loser.
Well, I think that's the point. People think you're a loser, yeah. But I know inside I'm fucking winning. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm fucking having this.
Yeah.
It's
an expensive way to do it.
Just been in for a run, so I put it on expenses.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Do you have an expenses limit? If you went back and it was like 50 quid, would they go, come on, Paul?
Well, they might do with this. No, normally they want you to only spend about 20 quid.
Yeah.
But you know.
But another...
Nowadays, it's almost impossible to only spend about 20 quid.
Do you ever go like, well, I'll have the curry. Let's say it wasn't that occasion, but you have the curry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you have your one cobra.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, I'll have another cobra, but can you stick it on a different bill? Because you don't want the boss to see you had four cobras.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You've done that, haven't you?
No.
Getting taxis in London and you say, oh, can I have a receipt? And they scribble down on a receipt. And then, quite often, if you give them a tip and they give you a few blanks.
Yeah, yeah. That's
not that I've used that ever.
That's fraudulent.
Yeah, I know. I chucked them straight in the bin. I thought, yeah. Don't make me do that.
My brother gave me, do you remember when McDonald's used to do the little stickers you put on the label for the coffees and you get six on them and you get a free coffee? Yeah, for my birthday one day, he just gave me about 50 sheets of these stickers, so like infinite coffees.
Oh, very good.
Jesus Christ. I said, where do you get these from? He said, I bought them in good faith off the dark web.
Yeah, sticks. Yeah, the little coffee beans.
Yeah, yeah.
I went into the barber recently, and he does a stamp thing. On your fifth haircut, you get it free or something. Sixth haircut's free.
Yeah. He gave me a card, and I put it in my wallet. After the hairdresser guy.
What, down in Loddon?
Yeah. He'd been there a couple of times.
We'll come on to that.
I said, yeah. So he'd been at that comedy. It's rubbish, isn't it? No, I didn't.
What the comedy they sponsor?
No, but anyway, I put that... Blevering here, you might have got loads of this out. But
I don't think I will. It's very good stuff.
All right.
How was your haircut at Golden Clippers in Loddon? Did you have the older guy? Big guy?
No, we had the guy that he has to translate to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it takes his time, doesn't he?
Personally, and I don't... Nothing against the man's skills. I'd rather wait.
My stepson went there today. The older guy. He's it's his birthday. Offered my stepson a whiskey.
Did he?
Yeah.
I missed out there.
Yeah, he should have gone on tonight, mate.
They've got those lovely sort of Turkish delight jelly things on the table.
Yeah.
I had a few of those. Took a few with me.
Yeah,
they look after me.
Yeah.
Something for the weekend, sir. No, they've never said that.
That was said to me once.
Something for the weekend, sir. Yeah, I'll have a Grandma Charlie.
Yeah.
Hellfire and damnation. In this section, we outline a scenario where we think someone or something should be thrown into the pits of hell.
Well, yes. You've put Scamstead Airport.
Yeah, I have.
Not Stansted, not my favourite place in the whole world, surely.
Is that your favourite place?
Well, more specifically, the Wetherspoons at Stansted.
Oh, I didn't get to do that, but Scamstead Airport, mate.
Yeah.
I got scammed twice at Scamstead Airport. And I know I mentioned it to you, and I know you said, oh, you should never do that, but this was an extreme case of fuckery of the highest order. Right, we're just about to
leave. Tell the listeners what you did.
Just about to leave, and we thought, we might, I don't know if our cards will work there or whatever, so let's get some cash out. So we went over to the cash foreign exchange, which, and they're called the Money Group, right?
Yeah.
Lovely lady there, very friendly, yeah. Right? A bit of chat. And 250 quid's worth of Icelandic money.
What's it called, the Icelandic money?
Kronas.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. right.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't think I knew that. You looked at me there, you're like, I'm going to test him now. I know when you do that.
You hesitate. Yeah. Because you nearly forgot for a moment.
It's Kronas. Anyway, she went da-da-da-da on the computer and said, well, that's 33,000. And that sounds like a large number. And
it does, yeah.
And I thought, well, yeah, sounds about right. And we're in the airport. It must be a legit company. Anyway, shake your head, mate. I can't believe they... Anyway... paid it, and she said, oh, and we do a buyback. There's a buyback guarantee. If you come back with any of it, we'll buy it back for the same rate. And so on the plane, we were going, oh, yeah, great, we've got all this money. Let's have a look. And then we looked at the exchange rate. And while we were there, we said to her, so how much is 1,000 of these kronas? And she looked at the computer and she said, £12, around £12 for 1,000 of krona. And I thought, okay, well, in my head, I'm thinking that's about a tenner, you know, that's what kind of when you're buying stuff. And then we were thinking, well, it is expensive over there. So we started looking at stuff. Oh, how much is it going to be to eat? If 1,000 is 12 quid, and it's like for a standard burger was like 2,500. And I'm like, well, fuck me, 30 quid for a burger? Shit. That is expensive. And then we looked at it a bit more. Oh, a dessert was like 2,800. Fuck me, 30 quid for a dessert as well. Shit the bed. Right? And so we went to a vending machine and thought, well, okay, well, we're going to, rather than eat, we'll buy a couple of pasties and stuff and we'll hold on to those for tomorrow so that at least we know. Yeah. And we were looking at other stuff, like a beer. What? 2,000, 1,500, 20 quid. It's more expensive than I ever believed, right?
Yeah.
On the plane, we looked at the exchange rate. Not only was it not 12 quid, it was a half of that. It was 6 quid.
Yeah.
The exchange rate they gave us was 130, which is meaningless to anyone listening, but...
You got dry bummed.
We did. 33,000 they gave us, and we should have got 41 or 42,000, which was about 70 quid out of kilter. And we were like, shit, we've just absolutely been robbed, haven't we?
Yeah.
Looked at some reviews of the Money Group. Sure enough,
yeah,
you know, like 1.2 stars and scam, 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 scam. So we said, okay, we're going to keep this money and we're going to let the motherfuckers buy back. And then looked at the receipt. She'd even charged us 6 quid for the buyback guarantee, which we thought was just a thing they did anyway. And another fiver for service charge.
What?
Yeah, exactly right. Top it all off, Scamstead Airport. You know the two pasties we bought?
Pasties?
Yeah, bought a couple of pasties, right? Yeah. Off of one of these Tabia thing to open the door of the fridge type affairs. Yeah, Tabia card.
You know how to fucking live. Go on.
Got back. They charged us twice for it. 6 quid. Or 12 quid for two pasties. Fuck you, Scamstead. You need to sort your vendors out because you just can't. It ruins people's holidays.
You don't go abroad a lot, do you, Kai? Yeah, I mean, you're well travelled, but
I am. But you don't expect that.
But you haven't been abroad recently. You're not.
You don't expect that level of.
For the listeners, if you're listening, well, you obviously are. You're a listener. Don't go to the. Don't buy currencies at airports. That's just don't do it. It's a massive. Just don't ever do it.
But you wouldn't expect it to be that far off. Yeah, 20 quid, we'd have been happy with that.
There's a reason why everybody says, what you've done the equivalent of being a little lad knocking on the door of the grubby-looking van and asking the man there for some Werther's originals. You know what I mean?
Is he just taken me away in the back of the van?
Oh,
to a wooded area and bummed me and then left me there.
Yeah, if you're lucky. You know what I mean? You've literally...
Again?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Kai. If you've been affected by any of the issues in this pod... Look, we've all done something daft, and I did something daft the other week when I got overcharged for an item in the car. I didn't get the price first. I should have always asked for the price and make sure we don't spend any money on it before.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's a bit of a golden rule. And I knew that was a golden rule, and I forgot. I see what you've not bothered. You've been busy. You've not bothered going into Norwich, which is because you ain't getting fucking Corona at the co-op and all that. So
we would have been better off getting it out of the cash point, really, wouldn't we?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
But without a doubt, that was an extreme markup.
Just paying for everything on your card. Tell you what, part of the joy of going abroad for me is Googling the living shit out of the place before you go and going on the travel forums.
Yeah, but everything we did was after the event.
Yeah, I know, I get that.
Yeah.
Next time, get yourself to a Beyond Exchange in Norwich.
But we went away from there thinking, oh, what a lovely girl. Yeah, wasn't she good with the customer service?
She might be.
She knows what she's doing.
She's just doing a job, guy.
Mate, yeah, she's doing a job, ripping off holiday makers. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Dirty bastards.
They can, what do we say? Get in the fucking bin. Press a button.
That'll do.
Can I press another one?
Yeah.
Hell fuck.
Yeah, that one. Press another one, mate. Why not?
Barking like a
And another one. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Feel better?
Yeah.
I would have punched it. I was in that mood then.
Yeah.
All right.
What else have you put here? You've put limp handshakes.
They can go in the fucking bin.
They fucking can.
You know when you meet people and you reach out to do that thing that we do? We don't bow like the Japanese and make no contact. We don't kiss each other's cheeks always like the Italians.
I never know when to do that.
Just a nice handshake.
Yeah.
And the person doesn't even raise their hand much and you sort of carry on with the action and you go for the hand. It's not somebody who you wouldn't expect to handshake, let's say, and it just remains limp and kind of effortless, like a sad sack of bollock skin on the end of their arm. Yeah? And then you sort of shake it and retreat, and you think, well, that didn't go as expected. Yeah, and I thought, I'm going to stick that in the bin.
Yeah, stick it in the bin, Kerry. I'll tell you what, whilst we're on about handshakes, right? Have you ever shaken the hands of an ex-military person?
They've got a proper one.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
Yeah, they proper go for it. It's like a matter of pride for them.
Yeah.
And they do it, and you can feel all your knuckles bloody sort of crunching together.
There's a handshake, and then if they give you a proper friendly one, it fucking puts your shoulder out.
It's like they're thinking, have some of that, you twat.
Yeah. I'm the dominant male in this relationship.
You go, for fuck's sake. Yeah. Well, funnily enough, you recommended to me the podcast, the Diary of a CEO.
Yeah.
And I listened to it, Kai. Robert Greene was on there.
The one I mentioned.
The one you mentioned. And actually, I put two and two together. I have read I read most of one of his books.
What is it? 48 something?
But I've not read that book. I've read The Laws of Human Nature.
I
say read it. It's an audio book. It's about 30 hours fucking long. So I think I've still got about 5 hours to go. I drop back in on it every now and then. But he's an amazingly insightful guy. Well, he was on about the concepts of frenemies. I've never heard him been called that.
Oh, yeah.
Friends who are a bit too keen to get to like you at first.
Yeah.
And then turns out they're really envious of all the stuff that you do.
Yeah.
And then work against you.
Well, that can happen, I guess.
Can happen. It's happened to me once or twice in life. And every now and then you sort of come across people and you think, you know, why are you being that friendly?
It can be like that.
Yeah, I listened to it all today. I went for a run this morning and again at lunchtime. And I listened to it all. It's good. Yeah, I heartily recommend Diary of a CEO and the Robert Greene interview. I've left about 4 or 5 different voicemail messages for people today. And if you're a bit tired and you haven't fully thought through what you're going to say,
I bet you're terrible with that.
Oh, fuck me. And I just sort of peter off. And then Anna's go, that's a message. Listen to it. Give me a call back. Cheers.
Yeah,
Really sort of peter off. And I'm like, oh, fucking hell. They've got to think of my right belly.
That's right. They go, oh, it's Paul. Okay, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Paul. What's the matter with Paul? Where's Paul gone?
Yeah, Paul just had a stroke.
Are you all right, Paul?
You just heard Paul lose the will to live as he left you a voicemail. It was at that moment you've got it immortalised. Oh!
Praise be. Now, we mentioned her before, but you've put Tanya Lee Davis.
Yeah, I mean,
rightly so.
It's an obvious tapping for a Praise Lee, Praise B this week. Isn't
Praise
it?
Lee.
Praise Lee. Yeah, it was. You know, Praise Tanya Lee.
Yeah.
She was lovely to see her. Brilliant set last night. And if you haven't listened to last week's pod, go back and listen to the interview with Tanya Lee Davis.
It's a great bit of chat.
She's got a lot to offer. In the face of lots of adversity, she thinks about what she can do, not what she can't do. And the whole unstoppable me mantra and all the tattoo and all of that.
It's the real deal.
We need to get on board with it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, you've put When Dogs Smile.
Yeah. Do you remember that song by Prince?
No, this is what it looks like when a dog smiles.
It's pretty much, yeah. I just like it when dogs smile.
Yeah.
Like, a dog smile is a thing of beauty. You know when they go out and you let them off the lead and they're like, oh, I'm having it. And they're like, really excited. Yeah. When I look at it, it just fills my heart with absolute joy. And there's hardly a better sight.
Oh, lovely.
The other lovely sight with dogs, perhaps not quite so lovely, but it does make me chuckle. When you see a dog when it's back arched, taking a curling one out, and it crawls its head around to look at you, and you're thinking, yeah, I am watching, and the dog's like going, you're watching me shit. You're thinking, is the dog feeling a little bit of a discomfort with me watching?
No, he's looking around going, you're going to pick this up in a minute?
Yeah, pick that up, you bastard.
Shall we go on and do a little bit of a Patreon thing for our people?
Yeah. Do you know what we're going to talk about today? Should we tell our non-Patreons what we're talking about?
Yeah, there's a dark and yet nutritious side to our Patreon today.
We're going to discuss what we want for our last five meals. And we're going to discuss what we'd do with 1 hour left to live.
Back in a bit.
Support Kai and Pablo by becoming a Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/promotermouths.
Well, that was the Patreon episode right there.
That was good fun, wasn't it? Yeah.
And if anyone would like to hear that, you get 7 days free trial on the Patreon. We've had a couple of those. No, more than a couple of people taking us up on our free trial offer. And it's free for 7 days. And you can decide, you can mug us off after that. Or you might think, actually, these guys are doing all right. For 2 50-something-year-old blokes, 67 episodes, without fail, always on time, for over a year. That's no mean feat.
Do you know what? I've had a few people say to us now that they prefer the Patreon than the normal pod. We should release the odd Patreon, shouldn't we? Just to let people know.
Well, we could. We could say, Patreon taster, if you want more of this bullshit. No, not bullshit. No, I won't use that. That's not a good sales tactic.
You're not a natural salesman, are you?
Well, not a natural one. I was quite a good salesman, though.
Was he? What did he sell?
I sold, to start with...
Let me guess. Ladies' shoes?
I have done, madam.
Yeah. And have you? Have you sold ladies' shoes?
I used to sell...
Ladies' shoes.
And men's shoes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Look, I don't think you can sell.
I can.
Let's do the comedy rumours. I'm going to press the button.
Go on.
Here we go.
It's now time for comedy rumours / shit housery.
Well done. I tell you what, you did just press that with your big sausage finger, like it's kind of bosh. It's a gentle touch, Pablo.
Just being assertive.
You can tell a lot about a person about how they press the buttons on it, and that's how they make love, apparently. I'm just saying what I read, what I heard on a podcast.
Where are you reading?
You just stuck your finger straight on it with the full weight.
How
poor Mrs. Pablo.
How people press the buttons on a Roadmaster Pro is like how they make love.
Well, absolutely.
There's no such article.
You see me gently tease the sliders. Now.
I'll tell you what. Do you know when Mrs. Pablo talks to Alexa in a stern voice?
Yeah.
Yeah, that gives me a tingle. <It does.
laughs> Comedy rumours. Let me just stick this one in then, because this one was a thing that I read about a setup called Sticky Fingers and Fringe.
Yeah, what's this? It sounds cryptic.
Well, somebody put a post up saying, sorry if this isn't the right place for it, but we've been made privy to a few things about money owed by Fingers and Fringe to a number of acts, and just want to put a warning out to people. They also were booking a couple of big weekend festivals, quite well paid too. It says can't go into a lot of detail yet, but it's a wild story. Some people looking at legal action, apparently, and trading standards.
Look, you've got to be careful here.
Well,
because who posted it? And how do we know this is right?
Wow.
Is that an anonymous post?
It wasn't.
Oh.
No, it wasn't an anonymous post. They just wanted to put a word out to be very wary. Right. Apparently there's a lot of money owed, some fairly hefty fees too.
And just to cover our asses.
Allegedly. That's right.
Yeah, allegedly. This is what somebody said. It's not what we know that happened.
Well, if people are owed money by them, of which there are people, so... The story goes, it's well worth getting in touch with them because they might not...
Want your money back.
Yeah.
Sometimes businesses go under whilst they owe people money.
They do.
That's a thing.
Apparently so. I don't know. I'm sure we'll find out.
I worked with a guy, one of the first pro gigs that I put on in Lowestoft. This guy, he gave himself a wacky pseudonym, much like I do on here. But this guy was presenting himself to members of the public on a day-to-day basis, and on all his posters, I'm gonna call him Barry Dim. That wasn't his name, but
Barry Dim.
Yeah, he rhymes with exactly what he said he was called. So this guy, he was a bit of a wanker, right? He was presenting himself as like this Svengali figure who knew all of these bands, and either ingratiating himself with the previous owners of Claremont Pier and Lowestoft. And he was giving it a big one, and he just came out of town from your neck of the woods, actually, somewhere in the West Country, and then ended up in Lowestoft, and he just appeared from nowhere. And declaring himself as like this guy who knew all of these different people who can get these acts and those acts. And I went along because somebody worked there asked me to put on comedy, and I was introduced to this guy. And it was framed like I'd collaborate with this guy to put on a gig. So I went along with it. And he was just one of these guys. He was a short, fat, scruffy, greasy hair bloke. He used to volunteer stories that you didn't ask for. About his sexual conquests. And there's no way that this guy had any sexual conquests. But also, it was just odd that he was telling you. He just wasn't interested. But he was using it to sort of boast. And that was odd. And then he was dropping name-dropping all over the place. And I thought, this bloke's dodgy. And then the way it was, because it was about 12 years ago, I was asking him for the how many tickets we'd sold. So it was Tony Law. He went on for us. And because he didn't give us access to the ticket system, the system we agreed is I'd text him and he'd let me know. So I was texting him.
It always makes me nervous, that setup.
Yeah. I hate that setup. I've had it once or twice since, and most of the time people have been good about it. But he started getting the arsehole with me. It's still 27, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's still 27. And I mean, I could be sort of reading back his text, but he started getting shirty and basically trying to bully me on his texts. And I thought, this ain't fucking right.
Mm.
This isn't right. You don't behave to people like that. And so I started Googling him. I found his real name because he had a pseudonym on Facebook. And I Googled his real name. Lo and behold, he had a festival in the West Country where it didn't happen. What ticket money was taken? No ticket money went back.
Was it a comedy festival?
It wasn't a comedy. It was a music festival, and I went to the guy who owned the Claremont and said, "Look, mate, I think you got it wrong." And he said, "Oh no! He told us about that festival, and he'd already preempted it with some bullshit that they bought." Anyway, we did the gig, and we fell out afterwards, and as a consequence, he sort of sullied my name with the owners, and I said, "Look. All right, you don't want to talk to me, but you've got to understand you're dealing with a fucking wrong one."
Yeah.
And fast forward 9 months later, turned out he was a wrong, and the guy at the Claremont is not there anymore. He's a lovely guy. He shook me hands and said, "Yeah, sorry, Paul, I should have listened to you." Mm. "Yeah, it's fine, mate. You know, we all make these mistakes every now and then." He did, got taken in. All right, fucking shyster.
Yeah.
They are out there.
And they usually there. They're repeat offenders, aren't they? If they get it wrong once.
Well, that's what he'd done. He'd moved into the area, and he was ripping off people here doing the same stuff, you know.
There must be people who try doing that with comedy nights. You know, you could effectively secure a booking up to a point with a very big name and sell tickets off the back of that with no intention of actually putting the gig on. I suppose you don't even need an agent to tell you that you can have an act or not. You could just make it up, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You could advertise anything anywhere, I guess.
Yeah, you could do, yeah.
And sell tickets.
Yeah, and if you're thinking of leaving town anyway. I mean, well, now you can't really leave town, though. It's a global place, isn't it? But I mean, back then, he's probably...
I mean, you only get one hit at something like that, really, before people cotton on. Or do you? You could do it in any country, but, you know, checking out what you're getting into.
Since then, I've always Googled everybody that I've got into business with. Mm.
Are you a Googler, are you?
I do Google, yeah.
Did you Google me?
I must have done.
Must have done. I bet you Googled me. Who is this guy?
Yeah.
Coming in here.
Nicking all our gigs.
Yeah, nicking all our gigs. What is it? He's like a fucking disease. What did you find out?
I thought, genuinely, I looked you up. I saw your old version of the website. And I just thought, this bloke looks a little bit mad. I don't know why I thought that. Oh. And then I met you. And I thought, he's fucking mental.
Barking like a twat in Loddon and Shedgrave, in brackets, the local.
Controlling the roadcaster like a twat.
Kai's let me do the buttons today, listeners. I'm having it.
Just today.
You've put. Don't mention the Germans.
I've got Frank Sinatra coming to the White Horse in Chedgrave.
You shoehorned a plug in to the
bit. On Simon's very good at the White Horse at putting up things around the pub, and on one of his blackboards, he's put...
Can you say that?
No, on one of his chalkboards, he's put... What?
Go on.
On his blackboards, right, he... put Frank Sinatra, the Ubermeister of Lounge, which is his little tagline.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of people sat at the bar talking to one of the bar ladies. I wasn't there for this. This was relayed to me.
Yeah.
And he looked at the sign and said, "That looks like a German word." She said, "What?" He said, "That one there, Ubermeister, that's a German word." She said, "Well, yeah. I mean, look who it is. Frank Sinatra. Yeah. Frank Sinatra. You can't have that. Right, I'm not having that. I'll be round here with a gun." And these are guys who actually own guns as well.
Yeah, well, it's the countryside, isn't it?
That's disgraceful. He was first of all outraged by a German word.
Yeah.
And then realised that we've got Frank Sinatra coming.
He read the word Nazi and just exploded.
"You can't say that. That's absolutely appalling. That's an insult to all the people that lost their life." Yeah, that's what we're dealing with. There are people that walk among us that are triggered by German words.
Tell me about it.
And even more so by... Wait till he sees a picture of him.
You should put Ben Biggs on. Give him a free ticket. See how he likes his Holocaust joke. Auschwitz.
But these are also people that have never been to the comedy, yet they drink there all the time. But apparently, you know, he's going to come round there with a shooter. What a donut. Yeah. Don't mention the Germans.
You're probably sat there drinking German lager, getting pissed up with it.
I'll have a pint of Beck's. What? It's a Nazi.
You've put Raj update.
The Raj.
See, I don't know. I don't know where we are with it. I've not checked this week.
He's open today.
Was he? Do you reckon he's open despite his licence, or he's got his licence?
I don't know. You said he might close. So, go on, fill him in.
So, listeners, our most favourite curry house, the Dil Raj in Bridge Street in Loddon, does the most brilliant traditional meals from an Indian restaurant.
But they had a little bit of trouble, didn't they?
A little bit of bother with the old slavery. modern slavery.
Yeah, all the blooming slavery.
He's been accused of modern slavery because a couple of the people that he had in there were illegals. He says they were cleaners, were only there for an hour. And they're saying there were people getting their wages supplemented with meals, so they weren't getting paid properly. Allegedly, and he's been asked to produce evidence, and it's all a bit...
Oh, I didn't know that little bit.
Did he not know that bit, no? There's been a few bits in the local press. Mohammed, when you meet him, lovely, friendly guy.
He doesn't look like a slave driver.
He doesn't, and he's you know, when he's talking to us, for all we know, he might be a complete psychopath, who knows? But he does a great curry. Yeah. Either he does, or the bloke he's got locked up downstairs. Makes it. Yeah. So I hope they don't send back the one that does the jail phrases.
Pablo, you can't say that. Yeah. You can't say that about our favourite Raj.
Yeah. No, well, anyway, I went in on Sunday night because we decided we had all the stuff in ready for a roast. And it was nagging at my mind. It could be the last night that they're open because they were waiting.
I was thinking a similar thing.
Yeah, they were waiting on a Monday for the verdict, whether or not he's going to close down or not. So we all collectively decided that we'd get an Indian. And I went in to collect it. Big old smile on his face. Massive smile. Gave me a very firm handshake and some free poppadoms.
Well, I went in there for a takeaway recently, and I sort of, as I took it, I said, so what is all this business then? You know, this was sort of in between times as he was waiting for a verdict, and he just shrugged it off. Oh, it's nothing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's nothing.
He was saying to me, he said, if you get a painter or a decorator to do some work around your house, do you ask them if they're legal? Of course you don't. You don't always check their papers. Who does that? If you go and get your car, a mechanic to go around and fix your car, what do you say to him? Can I see your passport, please? You just don't do it, do you? Well, I've got some cleaners around. I weren't to know they were legal. And, you know, just then, 20 people from the
Your Honour.
Customs and Excise turned up.
Yeah. So I thought maybe they were assigned there from an agency and that was how they got led to it. But they were working under intelligence, which means somebody obviously
fucking
said...
Fucking grassed him up, yeah.
He's got people in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the King's Head, he's got a burger guy going in there.
Yes.
You know, I'd go in and try the burger because he's not going to be there long, is he? History repeats itself.
Is there a song that goes like that? And you just started singing.
No, there is a song that goes.
Is there? Yeah. You just started singing, didn't you?
There is a song. And it goes like that.
Okay, I'm not so sure.
Dirty burgers, they do look good.
How long will they be there for?
Oh, I don't know. Probably until he realises how much money they're making and tries to charge them more. Shall we go for a pint and a burger sometime? They're open at 4 tomorrow. Fancy a pint and a dirty burger?
I'll be working tomorrow.
That's a no, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Opinion whores. I was in Iceland, Pablo.
Yeah.
I'd like to know your opinion on what I ate.
Was it raw herring?
No, it wasn't. So it started off with something called Arctic char, which is like a salmon. It's a very nice fish, and it's a bit like salmon, but apparently very expensive over here, but not so there. So that was one of the little things. There were four things on this plate.
Yeah.
And the next thing on the plate was horse. Nah. Horse meat.
Wow.
Nay. That was the main course. No, horse meat. Horse meat.
Oh, did you say, I'm not eating this? With a really long face.
No, I said, who cooked this? No, I didn't say
who
that either.
The fuck is it? Yeah.
I said, will this give me the trots? I didn't say that either. No, he brought it over. He said, is that all right? I said, saddle do. No, I didn't say that either.
Rain it in, Kai.
So, horse meat.
Yeah.
Medium rare kind of bits of horse.
I don't know where I feel on it.
Yeah, where'd you go with that? It tasted all right.
Yeah.
Does that make a difference?
It's supposed to taste like cows, isn't it?
It's not far off.
Yeah.
It's not far off a bit of. So that was the second one.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Third one, minke whale. Where do you stand with the minkies?
Is it like a gay whale?
Minky.
Yeah. You said it in a bit of a camp way.
Minky whale. We had a little bit of minky. I said, would you like the minky?
Not a manly whale.
So where do you stand with eating whale? Again, medium rare, whale meat, minky.
Right.
Wait, no?
I don't know.
Would you?
I'd have a go. When in Rome,
I'm glad you're not outraged, but I know there will be people who aren't into that.
I don't know about a horse. So, see, I'd be outraged with a dog, and I think a horse is not as nice as a dog, but it's quite close. And if you're a horse person, you would be outraged. But then cows have got nice eyelashes, pretty faces.
They do. Fourth thing and final thing.
Yeah.
Puffin.
What?
Puffin. You know, the beaky things that you see? Yeah.
You had a puffin?
We ate smoked puffin.
You had a puffin the night Mrs. Carey went out.
I got a puffin. I got a puffin.
What was it like? I imagine it would taste a bit like fishy chicken.
No, that's how you think a seagull tastes.
No, a seagull would taste like putrid, oily.
It was a bit ducky. It was darker than duck. It was a little bit chewier. But puffin. So that was the traditional journey of traditional food stuffs in
I had duck tonight.
Iceland. Did you?
Yeah, duck chow mein. Mrs. Pablo made it.
How did it taste? Like puffin?
Save the whale, its fins are up its tail. Stop the slaughter, don't you think you ought to save the whale? There you go.
Thanks, mate. Let's plug our gigs, Pablo.
Let's plug the living bejesus out of these fucking gigs.
Well, as always, loads of top headline acts for me, Pablo. Shaftofwit.com is where you'll find information for near Dis and Wingfield. We've got Chedgrave, we've got Beckles Vaults as well. Yeah. And we've got September coming up. Gary Delaney, mate. In Beckles Public Hall.
I hear he's good, mate.
Yeah. And over in Attleborough. And also in Wisbeach and near Peterborough as well. It's gonna be a mad old end to the year. Loads of fucking... And Pullum St Mary with Arthur Smith. Mate, it's all going nuts.
It's global domination, Kai.
Shaftofwit.com.
Yeah. WCB.comedy.com. 5th of April, Sean Walsh headlines. Two venues. Still tickets left, amazingly. Didn't think that would happen. But Secretary Theatre, Woodbridge, Southwold Arts Centre, 5th of April. Sol Bernstein, Gavin Webster, and MCs Cameron Bailey at Southall, Ben Valdeveld at Woodbridge. 26th of April, Lord Kitchener's Joy Page, Scott Adams, Masai Graham, and Adam Bloom.
I'd like to see Masai. Yeah.
Adam Bloom headlining that. 31st of May, Paul Sinner, Southall Arts Centre, with a whole bunch of others, fantastic acts. And this News just in, September 20th, I think it is. Got to put the support line up, but my headline act is none other than Simon Evans. I've been wanting to book him for fucking years.
That's a good one.
I've always liked him, so we'll see.
Yeah, we had Simon Evans on the Twitch stream. He's a mate of Tony's.
And you said he went down fantastically.
He did. He was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we had lots of lovely comments from people.
Yeah, brilliant. Right, I'm going to press the button, Kai. Hang on.
Which one do you want? Yeah.
Well, contrition.
And you've put, sorry, Glenn, mate.
Yeah, what an absolute fucking brilliant touring comic, legend.
Glenn Wool. Yeah.
Canadian guy, lovely fellow as well. So he did doubled up for me at Southwold and then over at Woodbridge. Glenn is the kind of act where people who follow him absolutely love him. So if you're going to put him on a club night, because he's a bit off the wall and a bit different, unless he's headlining, you want to put him on in the middle. So that the audience have warmed up.
Did you have him opening?
I had him opening.
Okay, yeah.
Because originally I had Mary Bourke supposed to be open, and I replaced Mary Bourke with El Baldino, who's most definitely middle, even though he's a headline quality. He's same again.
Well, you've got three quality headline acts on that bill, mate, and it's always tough when you
and I've cooked up slightly. I need somebody who's going to be more vanilla,
a strong
vanilla act for opening, and Glenn's not vanilla, right? So there's the audience were thinking
rabbits in the headlights, kind of.
Well, I'd say there was a proportion of the audience to notice, and what made it a little bit worse, and this is where I really owe
don't
an
fuck
apology.
About does Glenn.
I know, but yeah. Where I really owe an apology is I had a guy filming. And the Ocean Room, when you're filming, you can get amongst it, you can take some real shots, and you don't really notice because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
It's a bit chaotic. In a theatre where everybody's posed and it's more formal and are looking in the right direction, somebody filming can be quite distracting.
Who was the person filming experienced in filming comedy?
For me, yes. I hadn't given him enough brief. Haven't given him enough brief at all, so he was distracting slightly.
Okay, yeah.
And to the point, I got him halfway through and said, look, stay in the shadows. Don't go so the spotlight's on you. Stay in the shadows.
What were they filming with?
Camera.
Proper?
Yeah, it wasn't anybody's phone.
On his shoulder type camera?
Yeah, I think it was one of those magic doodads. Proper industry standard thing. I'm going to get a great film out of it, just to showcase the venue in a night, which will really help me sort of move things along.
But
at the beginning of Glenn's set, I hadn't given this guy enough brief, and you know, it wasn't his fault, it was my fault. And Glenn said to me, look, if he's going to film, to tell him if he's going to come in close, tell him to do it on a laugh, not on a setup. And I was like, you know, I just felt so bad.
Yeah.
Because I thought, I've properly fucked up here. I've let that happen before.
Did he know there was filming going to be happening? Had you told him before he'd gone on stage?
I don't know if I had.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I had or not. But, I mean, look, it was sort of... there won't be any films of any of the acts without the acts knowing about it. Put it that way.
Mm.
I'm more interested in... showcase in the evening.
No, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think some acts can be quite thrown by having what is effectively broadcast cameras or whatever. They, you know, they don't know that.
Yeah.
If you haven't briefly.
Well, cocked up.
No, I get it. Yeah, that's fair, mate.
Specifically, and I should message him directly, and I will keep meaning to get around to it.
I mean, you've got a million things going on in your head, haven't you? And it's sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it.
Might seem like a little thing, like in your head, but I've sorted out the cameraman. Great, that's going to be fun. But
yeah,
you can sometimes miss a few bits there.
Yeah, fair enough. Genuine contrition, yeah.
I know we say sometimes we overuse it. That's a good one.
So
if you are a promoter and you do have filming going on, speak to the acts and tell the cameraman to stay out of the way.
Yeah, stay out of the light. And if you're going to move forward or make any sudden movements, do it on a punchline and not on a setup.
That's where two different industries clash there. There's the guy who wants the shots, and there's the more important thing for the night is the comedian, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice one, mate. Well, there we go. And... that was episode 67. There's a good Patreon in there. I enjoyed that one.
That was a good one.
Thanks, listeners, and thank you, Pablo.
Thank you, listeners. Kai, all the Patreons, lovely Patreons, even the temporary ones.
Support Kai and Pablo by becoming a Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/promotermouths.